Matthew chapter 3. Lord, I had one amen and four, I just fainted. Matthew chapter 3. Praise God. I had a phone call this week from a man. Folks, you're going to think that Brother Akers makes up all these stories. You can't help but think. I had a phone call from this man. Now what? He is not in this time, so don't try to put the conversation in your face. But he told me that his wife is in need of help. So she thought of me. Very well. No, she needs help, so she thought of you. Would you please contact her and pray for her? Folks, I'm so glad to be in the fire. I'm so glad to be burning, praise God. I'm glad I'm not burned out, Alan. Hallelujah. I'm glad I haven't flamed out, praise God. My brother has said time and time and time again, and I want you folks to take this down. Put it in your book right now. I want to say many of us backslide. And I'm preaching against it today. Hallelujah. In Tennessee, they would say, I'm going to preach against it. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, folks, we really can be so content to be grazing with one little area, never looking up, but oh, thank God. When we do look up, what is the very first thought that comes to my mind? The nearness of you, oh God, is my good. Say it out loud. Good. I'm not talking, but I'm just mad. The nearness of you, oh God, is my good. Hallelujah. To Jesus. God is an all-consuming fire. And let's look at the scripture, if you would. Matthew 3 and 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Read it out loud. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Praise God. Father, thank you for the fire. Thank you for the when I get into your presence, something inside of me begins to burn. When I get into your presence, oh God, something inside of me begins to flame up. For the nearness of you, oh God, is my good. And I want to be a flaming experience for this community. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I can tell you some of the funniest things that happens to me. Well, go ahead, preacher. I'm going to. At 8 o'clock last night, I was on a flatbed truck performing a marriage ceremony at the Willis Racetrack, stock car races. I was in the lead dually truck, and the bride was on her car. Talking about this woman races cars. In fact, she had just gotten through racing, had just changed from her racing togs and helmets and all the rest into her wedding garments. And I said, my church is not going to believe this, so I'm going to watch the groom get dressed. He got dressed in a truck. Pickup truck, the tuxedo on, standing in a truck bed. I said, anything, Lord? Is that what you said? Did Paul say that he was going to become all that some
might be saved. I found myself preaching from the back of that flatbed truck to about 2,000 people. And I really got an applause when I said, all of you Baptists out there are going to be excited because I came to perform a wedding ceremony and not take up an offering. They got real excited. They really did. I am here to tell you that I got one call this week that said,
Nolan, my wife is sick. She needs you to pray for her, so she's thinking about her.
At least when we are away from the flame, something down inside of us smoldering, perhaps there's hope, perhaps there's a blessing yet for this dear one. When we acknowledge we need help, it isn't hopeless. Somebody say amen. The prodigal son says, I'm going home. There's food enough for my father's hired servants to spare. At least I can have something to eat. To that point, I can just say, thank God at the crossroads of the old family farm, he didn't meet his brother. Amen to that. If he'd have met his older brother, he'd have never made it home. There's going to be people who walk through these doors, folks, that are going to be hungry. We've got to feed them. Say amen. How are we going to feed them something if we don't have it? Oh, let us burn and let us yearn. If we have to preach from the back of a pickup truck or a big old dually, whatever the things are, I don't know. I'm glad to say we can preach. They said they were going to come to church. Thank God I've heard that before. Amen. 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 But the scripture here says that he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to absolutely pour out his spirit upon all of this earth. Can you say praise God to that? Turn with me to Joel, if you will. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, whatever the rest of them are. Turn with me to Joel, chapter 2. Help me preach this morning, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to the 28th verse. You can quote it by ear, by memory, by life. Verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also among the brothers and among the enemies. In those days will I walk. Pour out my spirit. Amen. Has that day come? Oh, I'm pretty heavy on this side. Never heard a word on this side. Has the day of the Lord come that he has poured out his spirit?
Yeah.
All right, a little better. Let's go to the New Testament then. Let's read it for sure. I want you to see this and I want you to understand it. Rich and precious. Acts chapter 2. We can all find the New Testament. Acts chapter 2. What are we reading today, folks? Right from the Bible, what are we studying today, folks. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're flaming in the fireplace for God. And I want to show you Acts chapter 2. Let's get over there. Verse 16. But this is that which was spoken of through the prophet Joel. See verse 16? Everybody say amen. Peter is repeating word for word prophecy that was spoken 1,500 years before in the times of the prophets. We see where Joel said, in the last day, or in that day, I will, such and such and. And we see it right here. Now, everybody's at Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Read it out loud. Come on. But this is that which was spoken through the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall all prophesy. Praise God. I know that I have one candidate that will voice her opinion, and it will be a positive one today. Sister Yvonne will agree with me today that of all the treasures that there is on this earth, there is nothing more precious than being filled with the Holy Ghost and being blessed by the power of God in an immersion of the pure love of God. And the evidence thereof is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And I'm here to tell you, there is nothing more precious than being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm convinced, Brother Jason, that the Spirit of God is among us today. Amen. Hallelujah. By the way, which side of this congregation? Wednesday night, we divided up this congregation. Which side is this side? Her, H-U-R. Which, all right, there's only one side left. So which side is this? What does Aaron and Hur mean to the Old Testament in the typology of such? What did he do? They lifted up the hands of Moses. Can you say amen? Amen. And they prophesied, praise God, and there was victory. So Wednesday night we took a vote. We divided this church right down the middle. This is Aaron and this is her. And what are y'all going to do? Yeah. Whose hands? That's it. Praise God. And the victory is ours. Thank you, Sister Janice. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is among us. Say amen. Why is he here? To convict us of our sins. To testify of Jesus. To lead us into all truth. To give us discernment. Boy, do I like that. The helper who helps us. Praise God. The comforter who comforts us. Where all of the gifts of the church are flowing in a beautiful, beautiful manner. God's gracious fruits, they mature in us. Amen. It was the Holy Spirit that moved upon a formless void that was eons ago. Say it. A formless void. It was during the time that God was creating this earth. This earth was formless and void and covered with water, if you please. But the Holy Ghost descended down, and the Holy Spirit began to minister to this old formless void. And the Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit brought forth life to that formless void. And I'm here declaring that the Holy Ghost has brought forth life into this community. He has brought forth life into your heart. He is bringing forth life into my heart. My heart is cold. My heart is cold. My heart needs help. Your heart is cold and your heart needs help. My heart needs warm and it needs warmth. And I need the Holy Ghost to warm me and bring me back to the fireplace. Hallelujah. Well, give him a praise clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. I'm so glad that he brought life to a formless, voidless earth. And then when creation came, it fell, and great was the fall thereof. But again, everybody say again. Again the Holy Ghost came. And the Holy Ghost brought life to a voidless, empty heart of a human being. The Holy Spirit brought forth new life to a fallen nature, praise God. Yours was fallen and so was mine. But the question today is this. Oh God, this is my cry continually. This is my cry. Brother Brumley, my cry continually is, oh God. I'm serious, folks. My cry daily, continually is, oh God, how can this vessel be a vessel of honor in which the Spirit would reside? Bill, you ever ask yourself that question? How could it be? How is it possible? How could it be that the Holy Ghost would choose me? I'm so glad that he has chosen me, Richard, to be an image of the Son of God. Brother Max, I'm so glad to be a part of the fireplace. If you are a part of that fireplace today, somebody say, praise God. If you are burning today, say, praise God. You're burning for God. I am too. Hallelujah. And the point is, I want to know my part. 1 Corinthians 13 and 9, you don't have to turn because I'm going too quick. But the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13 and 9, Paul says, for I know in part. Everybody said, for I know in part. Praise God. All right, God, so I am a sheep. All right, so my nature is one that is rebellious. I'm ignorant and I'm dumb. That's a pretty good trinity, if you'd say amen. All right, I confess my ignorance. I confess my weakness. I confess my needs. God, I'm a flock. I'm one of your flock. And I'm hungry for you today. Yes, I know in part, but this is one thing I do know. I know that I don't know everything. And because I don't know everything about the spiritual matters of God, I'm safe. Sister Judy, I'm on safe ground. Praise God. Because I am not by myself. Look at somebody you're seated with right into the eye and say, I know that I am not by myself. Some of you haven't opened your mouth since you've been to church this morning. How in the world did you get married? You had to say, I love you when you proposed. You had to. You had to open your mouth. I can look at Janice like this. Doesn't do her a bit of good. But boy, when I look at her in the eye, I say, honey, I sure do love you. Ooh, her heart just melts. I can melt her heart just like that. But a look doesn't get me over the hill. Are we still having spaghetti, honey, after one? Okay. I'm safe so far in this sermon. The point I'm making is this, folks. You've got to open your mouth. You've got to look into the heart of God. You have got to acknowledge your need. If you're cold, you must say with the rest of us, I want my place in the fireplace. Amen. I want to burn once again like I used to burn, praise God. And I am convinced, Sister Mildred, and I know you're going to agree with me, I am convinced that when we lose our first love, the scripture tells us that we are a cold, impartial, cold church because we have lost our first. I am convinced that losing your first love is when you lose your love for Jesus. You'd rather argue and bicker and fight and cause disturbance everywhere you go, whatever you do, rather than rest and find peace with God. Say it out loud. The nearness of you is my good. Oh God. Well, I know one thing I can be, Brother Chuck. I can be a disciple on fire for God in the fireplace. I can be in that fireplace burning with one mind and one accord and be in one unit. I tell you, if I am out of the fire, I'm dying. Say it. If I am out of the fire, I am dying. Let us burn for Jesus. Let me give you this illustration right quick. We're going to close just a moment. But first, a few more thoughts that are so rich. Moses had a burning bush experience. Something about the blood, honey, because we've got communion coming in just a minute. Just a few seconds, Brother Bill. You usher, just wait just a few minutes. Burning bush. Say it. Burning bush. Burning bush. Now, that bush did not burn up. And the other day I was studying this, and it came to me. No, I was talking to Sharon Craig. She's the one that put this thought into my heart. She said, Pastor, have you ever thought about all of the critters that were in that bush? The insects, the scorpions, all of these things that would cause harm? Maybe it was a prickly bush. Everybody say prickly bush. I'll guarantee you, the bush did not burn, but those critters that was in it did. I got to talk. Now that's true. That's just like me. That's just like me. There are sometimes I have down in my heart something that I didn't know was there, and out it'll come. Did I say that? I need to have a burning bush experience to burn some more critters. Who said critters over here? That's Sister D. Burn some more critters. Burn some more sin from my heart. Praise God. I like that. I like that. You know, I love it when our hearts burn together. Don't you? Can you say amen? I love it when our hearts burn together. Well, you know what, folks? The essential character of God is this. He is spirit, and he is love, and he is light, and he is fire. Amen. The Bible tells us that the high priest, have you ever thought of how the candlesticks, how was it first lit in the Old Testament wilderness tabernacle? Who lit that first fire out there in the bronze altar? That big altar out in the front. In that great assembly. How was that lit? The Bible says that God sent fire down out of heaven, and he lit that fire.
Yes.
Somebody say amen. I'm talking about the great bronze altar out there in the outer courts. He lit the fire. He lit the fire. Thank you. White, that old hymn. I haven't sung that in 100 years. What's
99.
Page 99, selection 99. Now watch, y'all. You know, the preacher can preach all day long. The preacher can preach. The prophet can prophesy. But unless there is action in the pew, I would love for you to look right at pastor's eyes. All the preaching on earth and the power and the manifestation of God in the church. Sister Janice and I have seen people in their sin and anger in the heat of revival and the charismatic move in Louisiana up and leave the church because of the condition of the heart. Now, folks, there can be all kinds of unction. And I felt it today. I have felt the unction. As Marvin Ford would say, the unction to function. I have felt the unction. Brother Brumley, I have felt God today. But you know it's not enough, Brother Brumley, for me to feel God. There's got to be action in the pew. Verse 1. On Calvary's hill of sorrow. What are you going to do about sin?
Where sin's demands
were paid. And rays of hope for tomorrow. Across our paths were laid.
I see a crimson stream of blood.
It
rolls from
Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweet. Verse 2, today there's no condemnation. Abides to turn away. My soul from his salvation, he's in my heart to stay. Verse 3, when gloom and sadness whisper, you've sinned and no use to pray. There it is. I look away to Jesus and he tells me what to say. I see a crimson stream of blood. Now, folks, some of us are walking through fire, but I'm talking about the kind that burns. And I'm here to tell you, I'm talking about a kind that will burn away the dross, D-R-O-S-S, D-R-O-S-S, the dross. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Do something about the sins that you may be harboring in your heart. Unforgiveness, anger, lack of peace, lack of content. You know what? I'm going to tell you what. Right here in 1 Corinthians, Paul said it. He said, you're coming down to the communion table and you've got unforgiveness in your heart and you're dying. I can read it to you from the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I can read it to you. I'll just do it. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not understanding what the communion is all about. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many die. Now, folks, that's being disciplined. because we refuse to forgive, because we refuse to confess our sins, we die. So everybody said amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Praise God. We're going to sing that fourth verse, and then we're going to read our scripture. And of course, you know how we want everyone to come. If you need prayer, come on to the altars, folks. Come on to the altars. And we'll serve you communion when you finish your praying. Come on, don't anybody hold back. Thank you, Jesus. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is the body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This little church in 1 Corinthians that Paul is making reference to, this little church in Corinth, had every kind of moral sin that could be named. Every kind of moral sin that could be named. They were afflicted by sin. I'm telling you today, Jesus is here to cleanse us of all of our sins. Let's come to the altar. Let's repent of our sins. Let's get our heart right. Let's take this communion. Let's enjoy. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Father, we just thank you now as we come. Prepare our hearts for communion. And when we reach the portal, you may come. Where life forever reigns.